Good morning. This is Kevin Woolley, Minister of Music at Mount Sylvan Baptist Church. We'd like to welcome you to our morning worship services with Pastor Bruce Rudd.
Word will be in Luke chapter 2, and we're going to start in verse 8. And I want to go ahead and read all of the text. It's a story that every year at Christmas we read it in our home, and we have for years. And this is the exact verses that we read, and I'll probably read them out of this Bible this year. And we've heard this text so many times. I hope today that we see some things from it that perhaps maybe you haven't thought about. I don't know, but let's look at chapter 2, verse 8 of Luke. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people." Verse 11, "For there is born to you this day in the city of David," that's Bethlehem, "a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you, you will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill toward men." So it was, when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, that the shepherds said to one another, "Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told them. The title of the message is Give God Complete Surrender and Receive His Comfort. Give God complete surrender and receive His comfort. When you think about the coming of Jesus Christ, it was prophesied throughout the Old Testament. And if you look in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 1, the Bible says, and it's the prophet Isaiah crying out as the Holy Spirit moves in his heart, and he says, "Comfort, yes, comfort my people." And you read that text and you get to the very next text and it talks about John the Baptist, his role in ministry. And you continue on in chapter 40 and then he talks about how he's going to reveal basically his son, how God's going to reveal himself to all flesh. And you see that he'll end up coming to Zion. And so you have the context of Isaiah's day, but also looking forward 750 years later to when Jesus Christ would come. It's pretty amazing. And so, truly, the coming of Jesus Christ was to not only save us, but to comfort us concerning our position of being enemies of God. It's kind of like this. When you go to a dentist or you go to have surgery, I don't know about y'all, but I don't want to have a tooth pulled without some kind of anesthesia. I don't know if you'd walk into a dentist. Now, I did have a dentist to get on to me pretty good because I tried to do tooth repair without one time. And it didn't work so well. I needed a root canal. And I said, "Tracy, it's just so expensive." I said, "I think I can fix this thing myself." And so we went to the drugstore and I bought Listerines. I bought all kinds of stuff. And I bought this two-part epoxy-looking stuff that you can rub together. And you form a little, like a putty substance. And you can fill a filling in. And I thought, well, if it'll fill a missing filling, well, it'll fill a hole where it's needed for a root canal. And so it was in the very back of my mouth, and I did all the Listerine, tried to germ kill everything best I could, and I went to stuff in that epoxy down in that hole, and it hit something called some really strong nerves. Well, what happened is that stuff hardened up. And so Teresa and I was in a panic. I didn't know if I needed to call 911 or just let her shoot me. I didn't know which. I was in so much pain. And I couldn't get that back out, so I found a pecan pick. And I went in the bathroom, and I started trying to get it out with a pecan pick, and it had already hardened up down in there. So I called our dentist after hours, after she had already gone home, I found our dentist and I met her up there, and she chewed me out the entire time that she worked on me. And I think that she was hesitant to even give the numbing shot. But if you go to the hospital and you have to have surgery, I don't know of any of you in here that would do this, and I got a feeling probably 80-90% of you have had to have anesthesia at one time, and you've been under the knife at one time. I know I have. And I look forward. Now, I don't know about y'all, but I completely surrender my arm. It's total surrender. Here you go. I help them get that vein where they can see it. Right there. I want the anesthesia because I know what's fixing to happen ahead. And there is a comfort in knowing the anesthesia is on the way. I love anesthesiologists. People that do that kind of work. But what do we do? When we receive that, it relaxes us. It gives us a comfort from within, knowing that everything's going to be all right. And then, I don't know about y'all, and then I got to move on. I like to count and see how high I can count when they put that stuff in. And I'll tell them, I want to see how high I can count. And I usually get to one. I think I get to two, but they don't let you know. So we need to have complete surrender in order to receive the comfort of the gospel. Complete surrender. Until a person surrenders their heart completely to Jesus Christ, they can't understand what the call of comfort is all about. And that's your first point in your outline. Is the call of comfort. Look at verse 8. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. You know, it's interesting to me that here's these shepherds. They didn't know that they were going to experience this night. They had no idea. To them, it was another night. It was just like many nights before when they've kept watch over their sheep. They had no idea, and last week we looked at God's timing. God's timing is precise. There's not a world event. There's nothing that can stop God's timing. Matter of fact, it was starting to look a little iffy. The scriptures have got to be fulfilled. Micah chapter 5, verse 2 has got to be fulfilled to where baby Jesus will be born in Bethlehem. And there's Mary and Joseph a couple of weeks for sure prior, back over there in Nazareth. Now, if you've been in Israel before, and you look, if you're in Jerusalem and you look north, well, you would be looking north a little bit that way. You'd be looking towards Nazareth. But if you turn around and you head towards the Dead Sea, and then you look a little bit west, which would be south of Jerusalem a piece, that's where Bethlehem is. In other words, Mary and Joseph are going to have to go anywhere from between 80 to 100 miles, depending on the route that they decided to take. Now, if they could fly in an airplane and go as a crow flies, they could have got there in about 70 miles. But that's not possible. In Israel, it's real hilly. And they might have gone by way of the Jordan River. We don't know how they got there, but they got there. And it probably took a week or so or 4 or 5 days for them to get there. Because they traveled by donkey, and she's pregnant, and she's at the point of giving birth. You can't even imagine how that trip was. And they go because of the census. God knew that census, and God allowed that census or caused that census so that His word would be fulfilled in perfect timing, and Jesus would be born where? In the city of David, that little bitty community, Bethlehem, by which King David, that was his birthplace. And it was also Mary's place through her descendancy as well as Joseph's. And so they head there to sign up to make sure they've done what the law required to be taxed. And Jesus is born. And so there is a call. And the call for comfort, the call for salvation is for every single individual. It doesn't matter if you're a shepherd or who you are. The call is for each individual. But I don't want to stay on the call. I want you to see something. Because when it comes to comfort, I don't know about you, but I know for me, I want comfort now. If you're having surgery, you want comfort now. Look at what happens with these shepherds. Let's start in verse 10. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid." By the way, do you know why they were afraid? Now, I would have been afraid anyway, this is something that they had never experienced before. But in their day, and in their time, and according to their traditions, that if you had a visitation from God like that, probably there was fixing to be a judgment of some sort that was going to fall. So they didn't know what we already know. In other words, it was happening in real time for them. And until this angel gives them a message of comfort and lets them know that this is a Savior been born for you today, these shepherds were scared to death at what is happening before our eyes. What is God fixing to do? He didn't know if judgment was going to fall on Israel or if judgment was fixing to fall on Bethlehem or on all of Judea or Jerusalem. They didn't know. And so the angel sees that they're afraid in verse 10. And he says, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day." Now that's important. That's worth underlining. "For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord." It's powerful. Notice that word, the two words, "who is." There's no doubt. The angel says, "This is Christ the Lord." Now, you may have doubt about Jesus Christ today. Maybe you're a Christian and you're doubting that he's hearing your prayers, or you're doubting that he's going to help you through something today or comfort you through something. Listen to the testimony of the angel right here. The angel says, "This is Christ the Lord." You see, sometimes we get so wrapped up in the Christmas story, we lose sight of the reality of the story. Jesus came to a real earth. He didn't come to a storybook. Jesus came to a real earth. Jesus walked on the same earth that you and I are walking on. Jesus took up on the body of flesh, human flesh, on the same earth that you and I took upon our body of flesh. Jesus came here, and you can get on an airplane, and in a matter of hours, you can be where Jesus was born. You can be over there. It's just amazing that we forget just how powerful this is. This Christ is still the Savior this day as much as he was the Savior in their day. That hasn't changed. He is the same Jesus. And he has already carried out the gospel. He's died on the cross. He's resurrected from the grave. And that makes him Christ the Lord. He is Lord of everything. And so he says, "For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord." We need comfort now. I like to think about in the Scripture, I like to apply it to our lives today. And sometimes we need encouragement from the Scripture to apply it to today. Remember when Queen Esther went before the king trying to save her people from annihilation, and she goes before the king, and the Bible says, "Who knows that you're not here for such a time as this?" And I can just see Queen Esther right before she goes before the king having to draw confidence and courage to make the request that she made. You see the three Hebrew children when they're thrown into the fire, and the Bible says, "And I see a fourth man in the fire." That was comfort now. That was Jesus now. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 6:2 that now is the time of salvation. Today is the day of salvation. And he uses, by the way, in that verse, you see the word "now" twice. It's real important. And what people tend to do is they tend to think that God does not have the power. What we do is when our vision of God is low, when we have a low vision of God, then we're going to have low expectations from God. But when we have a high vision of God, we're going to have high expectations from God. And so we have a God who has not changed. He is infinite. He is loving. He is comforting. He is merciful. He is the Prince of Peace. He is the Counselor. He is all of those things that the Bible describes. He is all of the claims of the Gospel of John. He is those claims. The problem is how do we relate to his claims? The shepherds are being told by the angel that this is a Savior born for you today, that you don't have to be afraid. And it's interesting because they heard the call for comfort. They heard the call of the good news. But they also heard that this is something you need to respond to today. This is your visitation. You see, God didn't look down on those shepherds at all, just as God didn't look down on anybody. The Bible says he's no respecter of persons. He loves every single individual on this planet. He loves every individual in this church today. He knows exactly what you're going through. He knows the anxieties that are in your heart and in your mind. He knows the things that are coming up tomorrow and the next day. He knows the very day that you're going to go to glory. He knows every detail of your life. He knows the things you're praying for. And he is altogether acquainted with everything you go through. He knows even the trials and the testings that you're going to encounter. The trials and the testings, the things that the devil's going to throw at you. And he's got the devil on a leash. God sees all of these things. And those shepherds were just like you and I. I can just see them as they're sitting there on the side of a Judean hill. It's beautiful. And I can imagine 2,000 years ago is much more beautiful than it is today. And I can just see those shepherds sitting there as they encounter God. And they think, why would God have anything to do with me? You got to put yourself in their shoes. Why would God have anything to do with me? Why would God make this announcement to us? Why isn't he making that announcement to somebody over in the temple over there? Back up in Jerusalem. Why are we the ones hearing this good news? The same reason that today, Sunday, today, all over the world, all over the United States, people are hearing the gospel today. Some, for the first time, they're hearing the gospel because they're actually listening. They're actually paying attention to what he has to say. Did you know that the Spirit is no less powerful today than he was on this day? Did you know that Jesus' saving power is no less powerful today than it was then? You know what the Bible says in John? That he could not do many works among them because of unbelief in his hometown. Because of unbelief. You know what tends to keep us from having that genuine fellowship that we need to have, that makes us leave the fields, find a way to tie up the sheep or house them up and behind some cliffs or whatever they did? They had to leave something. And that's our next point. That's our third point. It was comfort now, but I love the third point. It's comfort me. Comfort me. Let's follow this through, starting in verse 12, and let's read through verse 16. He says, and this will be the sign to you, you will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths. Now, I think this was what caught their attention right here, lying in a manger. Most of the time when a baby's born, you don't say he'll be laying in a feed trough. Usually when a baby's born, it's going to be in a mama's arm somewhere in a house. Says, y'all got to go find him. He's going to be in a manger. Well, that right there helped out the situation. As we go back into town to look for this baby, let's go to the feed stalls. Let's go where the animals are because he's in a feed trough. That's where the feed troughs would be. And so they go into town and they find him. Look at verse 13. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Now, there's been a lot of debate over whether do angels sing or not. I don't think it matters. I can tell you, you can make a song out of what they said if you want to just read it. But the Bible says they praised God. So we have first one angel giving the message. And then suddenly, now we have a whole heavenly host of angels that are praising God. And we see it right here. By the way, what you have is you have earth being stirred because heaven came down. You see what I'm saying? Heaven has came down. Heaven is now on earth. In other words, Jesus Christ is now the God of glory from all of eternities. The Son of God is now on a earth in a body, and the angels are going crazy. They are singing to the Lord, or they are praising God, however that looks. By the way, you look at Luke and these first few chapters, and you see a lot of praising going on. You see Elizabeth praising God. A song comes to her heart and she praises God. A song comes to Zacharias' heart and he praises God, but they're theological praises. They teach us about God. And then you see it right here with the shepherds. There's praising. You see it with Mary. There's praising. Heaven is being stirred. Earth is being stirred. That's the goal that we have today. The goal of the church today is to bring those truths of heaven, those truths of the kingdom, those truths of Jesus, and bring them down horizontally to each other. That's our goal today. So they needed comfort now, but it was comfort me. Look at the next verse. In verse 15, so it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds said to one another, let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us. Man, that's important. Look at verse 16. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. You know what's interesting about that? Look at verse 15 again. So it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds said to one another. Notice how it's going from the group to the individual. It started out that they're ministering to the group. It's the same thing that happens at a Billy Graham crusade. You can hear, in fact, I had when Teresa and I was at ARP Emanuel a long time ago, I used to teach a Sunday school class, and the guy that took my place, he got saved in a Billy Graham crusade years before. And I love his testimony. He said, "Bruce, it's weird, isn't it?" He said, "There you are, and there's all these people, but you feel like you're the only one there. You're responding, but it's like it's just you." I can remember that when Caitlin, my oldest daughter, got saved in Mahia. We were at a Heaven's, Teresa, how do you say it? That's it. Heaven's Gates, Hell's Flames deal. It's a presentation they put on. And Caitlin was real shy. And I can remember that at invitation time, she covered her head like this. And I thought that was just some of the shyness. Well, it wasn't. She was dealing with God. God was dealing with her. Earth was being stirred with the gospel. Heaven was being stirred, and she was being convicted. Next thing I know, she's walking the aisle, receiving Jesus Christ. She just takes off. She doesn't tell us what she's going to do or anything. She's 6 years old. She just takes off, and she received the Savior. And so you can feel like you're all by yourself, and that's because with the Lord you are. You see, you're saved individually, and you're saved personally. And so if you're saved individually and saved personally, you need the church, because stone sharpens stone. We need the church. That's a part of our sanctification, a part of our growth. But when you're saved, it's one at a time. Households can be saved. Trace and I were talking the other day about an encounter that we had in Amarillo one time. I went up there to witness to a guy that was dying of cancer, and the guy's heart was hardened. He wouldn't listen. And I was just heartbroken over it, and we left. And I said, and I didn't have anything to do with it. I said, "I want to go and see a guy I know. He used to be a welder on a project we worked on up here. And I want to go see him. He's an older man." We get there. Long story short, we're waiting. The guy in the van sitting in front of us, he gets out, had Oklahoma license plate, and he walks back there to us. And we're getting ready to leave. We didn't know for sure if this guy was going to come home. And so we're getting ready to leave, and the guy walks up. And the first thing he says is, "I was just sitting in my van wondering what eternity is all about," even before he makes known who he is or what we're there for. I said, "Oh, my goodness, let me get out." I grabbed my Bible. We sat down on a curve, and I told him all about Jesus. Went in the house, and the whole household, when they got home, the whole household got saved. Everybody in the house got saved. The children, the adults, the grandparents, everybody got saved. But you know how that salvation happened? Individually. It took conviction of sin. It took conviction in each individual heart. And that's what's happening right here. These shepherds are sensing the Spirit of God, and they're dealing with God. And so you can see it right there in verse 15. The Bible says that the shepherds said to one another. I can just see it. The scene disappears. All of a sudden, it's back to a normal night. And this shepherd might have been over here by himself over there. And he walks over to his good friend or whoever the closest shepherd was. And he says, "Man, I don't know what you thought about what just happened. God's dealing with my heart. I got to leave these sheep." "Man, you can't leave those sheep." "I'm leaving the sheep. I'm fixing to go find that baby." The other one says, "You know what? I think I'm going to do the same thing. God's dealing with my heart too." Before you know it, they've all made a decision with each other, "Let's go to town." The Bible doesn't give us any indication that even one shepherd stayed back. They all went. Now you say, how does that apply to me today? Here's how it applies. You may be a Christian. Maybe you've been a Christian for many years. But when God speaks to your heart, when God begins to work in your life, you've got to respond. You got to respond while God is working. I like to say it like this: strike the iron while the iron is hot. You got to respond. I was talking to somebody by text this morning about the Bible. And I shared, the individual was sharing how she has slowed down in reading the Bible. And I said, that's how you need to read the Bible. You don't read the Bible like you read a novel. You read the Bible as approaching, you're on holy ground. You read the Bible, here's a word I can't say very good, but I think I'll say it right, meditatively. Did I say that right? You read the Bible meditatively. That's how you read it. And when you're meditating on the Scripture, you'll begin to hear from God. Sometimes you'll be reading the Bible, and God will stop you. And He'll stop you right there, and He'll say, I don't want you to move from right there. And you don't know what He wants to say to you, but you better stop. The inspiration for this message today was because I was reading in Isaiah chapter 40. And I just kept going back, and that's one of my favorite chapters in the Bible is Isaiah chapter 40. I've preached out of Isaiah 40 a lot. I've done revivals with Isaiah 40. And so when you're looking in Isaiah 40, and the Lord kept pulling me back to that, and I'm thinking, why does He keep pulling me back to that? And so you have to stop and you pray. And so while I'm meditatively focused on His Word, God is saying, I want you to apply that to what I did. I brought comfort to my people. I brought comfort to you today. I brought comfort to Mount Sylvan. I've brought comfort to America, to Pakistan, to China, Japan, all over the world. I've brought comfort, and that comfort can only be found in my Son, Jesus Christ. It's not just a saving comfort, it is a lasting comfort. So we need comfort right now. But you know what I like about the last part? And this is your last point. Let me comfort others. Look at verse 16. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now when they had seen Him, I don't know how long they stayed there. I don't know what kind of conversations they had with Mary and Joseph. Perhaps Mary and Joseph told them all about John the Baptist and how he came to be. Perhaps they told them all about the things they had heard from God. We don't know all the details right here. But we know that after they had seen Him, and however long that was, they were so impacted. They were so touched by what they had just discovered in the Lord. So moved, so transformed, so changed. Look what happens in verse 17. Now when they had seen Him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. They're telling people about Him. Look at verse 18. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Look at verse 20. Then the shepherds returned. You know what? They didn't return the same as they left. When you meet Jesus, you can't go back the way that you came. You can't, because He changes your life. You're a different person. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told them. You know what they're doing? They're sharing their faith with others. I love the story of George Beverly Shea. When he was little, a little boy, you know, he was the guy that sang with a deep voice with Billy Graham and all of the Crusades. And George Beverly Shea grew up in a godly home. And there he is in Canada growing up. And he says, you know, I would wake up every morning to this. He said, I would wake up, and I was in a pastor's home, and I would wake up to my mother at the piano, and she would play and sing with this soprano voice, this old gospel song. I'm not going to sing it. But it was singing, I go along life's road, praising the Lord, singing, I go along life's road, for Jesus has lifted my load. You see, when we share Christ with the personality and all of the gifts that we have, when we share those gifts and we live those out and we share our testimonies, you know what happens? God begins to stir in the heart of others, and others are moved to leave their field, to leave whatever they're doing at the moment, to go get their life right with Jesus Christ. That's the need of the hour. By the way, we're still doing the same thing today. The Bible says they left praising God. Did you know that hasn't changed over 2,000 years? I wrote it down because I didn't want to forget it. For over 2,000 years, did you know the church is still doing the same thing that it did that first day? Witnessing and evangelizing. They made it widely known. And the second one, worshiping and ministering. The Bible says that they shared it as it was told them. That's what we do today. That's ministering. Worshiping and ministering, witnessing and evangelizing. Has not changed. Only.
Thank you so much for tuning in to the worship service at Mount Sylvan Baptist Church and Pastor Bruce Rudd. If you've been blessed by this radio ministry, Or if you've made a decision for Christ or are in need of prayer, we would love to hear from you at Mount Sylvan Baptist Church in Lindale, Texas. Give us a call, 903-882-3890. Thank you and God bless.